Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure. I'm Dave. Fred is to my left. Jason to my right.
And all of this fantastic glassware.
Oh, yeah.
And stuck in the middle with you.
Yep.
So here we are. So, we've been away, sort of. We just haven't recorded a new show in a while, but...
We haven't, but then we haven't put anything up.
So no, of course. So, no.
We hadn't recorded for a while.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I gave it away.
If you just listened to episode 10, it's like we never left.
That's right.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, everybody. And so, Jason, what's the theme for this show?
The theme tonight, oddly enough, cream drinks.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Whole thing sounds
fishy. Fred's skeptical.
Well, Fred is partly the cause of this.
Sorry, I'm partly the cause of almost everything.
There's a wonderful book called Cocktail and Wine Digest, The Barman's Bible,
mm-hmm.
Encyclopedia and New Guide for Home and Bar.
How am I ever going to get a copy of that?
It's very hard to find, and yet I have two.
And you can see it on our Instagram account, Cocktail Podcast, so you can have a look at it.
Exactly.
Just the cover.
Maybe you can find it.
Yeah.
Yes. It's written by one Oscar Haimo. Or Haimo? What do you think? H-A-I-M-O?
Looks like Haimo.
I'm going to say Haimo.
Okay, we're going to say Oscar Haimo.
His
first name's not one.
And it says that he's the president of the International Bar Managers Association.
Oh.
Now, I think if you look up this doesn't exist.
No, I think he just made it up.
That's right.
He's the king of his own society.
I believe he was. Yeah. It's a very strange little book. He self-published it. And he's throughout it. With all sorts of other odd pictures. In fact, you guys should have a look at it. I mean, here we are, page 1, 2, 3, 5. United Nations building in New York City deserves a shout-out in the Oscar Haimo book.
Sure. He's trying to be inclusive.
It says it's officially endorsed by the International Hotelman Association and the International Bar Managers Association, of which I believe he is the creator, sole
head honcho.
Then he saw fit to put this in here. This is his
certificate.
Yes, of his invitation to join the International Mark Twain Society.
Oh,
well, Mark loved a good cocktail.
That's right. Which, if you Google, doesn't exist.
Oh.
No. Well,
but we did do a Mark Twain cocktail.
We did do a Mark Twain cocktail. And says, "Dear Mr. Haimo, for your contributions to literature, the executive committee has voted you the honorary membership. The award will be made upon your approval. There are no dues. Of cordially yours, Cyril Clemens," which I guess is Mark's son and or grandson?
Perhaps, I don't know.
Cyril.
All right, Cyril. People, get your Google out.
And again, if you look at, I mean, this is probably more interesting than the drinks. Winston Churchill is the English representative to the club.
Oh, yes.
The Duke of Windsor is the representative of the Bahamas.
Of course.
Wow.
Chiang Kai-shek, David Lloyd George, Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Oh, all big tipplers.
Yep. William Lyon Mackenzie King is the Canadian representative. So he's gone right to the heads of state.
Oh, yeah.
This is Cyril Clemens now.
And Cyril rounds it all out.
Yes, Cyril Clemens, the president of the International Mark Twain Society.
Wow.
That's quite the... General Pershing's a member. Sure. A lot of, you know, Oscar was in good
company.
Anyway, it's a great little book. Full of all sorts of neat recipes. I haven't tried a lot out of it. And as I was leafing through it, I found something called the Partridge Cocktail.
Hey.
Fred's surname.
Exactly.
In honor of him.
Already.
And so I thought, well, we could try that. But then I looked at the top, and there was a Pacific cocktail and a Panama cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
And they both used cream as an ingredient.
Right.
I said, that's what we're going to do. But then one more twist happened. I have two copies of his book, one from 1962, one from 1972. 10 years later, the same drink is in it, with a different ingredient.
Oh.
And so I decided we're going to do the same drink, 10 years apart, same creator, or not maybe creator, but same concoctor for his book. One has brandy and triple sec, the other one just has Southern Comfort.
Oh.
So ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the Pacific cocktail... A la Oscar Haimo, the 62 and the 72.
Wow.
What happened to the Partridge cocktail?
For another time.
No.
See, he was just teasing you. It's just...
Because then we got to find a coin cocktail in it.
No, sure.
Of course. Yeah.
Or a Jason and a Dave in a Partridge or something. Yeah. There might be a coin cocktail with a different spelling.
Probably. Right? Could be. Yeah.
There will not be a Dedrick cocktail.
Or I'll just make one up.
You can make one up.
Name it after me.
Three coins in a fountain.
Yeah. There you go.
Cocktail.
In the Partridge cocktail, if you're curious, Freddie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Four dashes of triple sec. Half an ounce of sweet vermouth.
All right.
And 2 ounces of rye.
Okay.
Well, it's a, isn't that a Manhattan kind of a thing?
It's Manhattan-y.
Except with a triple sec.
Yeah. Well, they're all something except, you know, with something else added, so.
That's right.
Once you get into it, it's like, isn't this just like a, yes, it is.
Every one of these drinks is chili con carne, except instead of the beef, you use gin.
Yeah. Right.
Instead of the tomato sauce.
Yep.
So, yes, Pacific cocktail.
All right.
So we're going to try the 62 version first.
Great.
Which is a 3/4 ounce of fresh cream, 2 ounces of brandy, and 4 dashes of triple sec. Shake with ice and strain.
Right.
So it's also interesting because, I mean, normally our cocktails have citrus or something like that in it.
Oh, yeah.
This is like a classic two or three ingredient cocktail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Except with cream.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does wonders for coffee, so I wonder.
It'll help settle my stomach, too.
So. Yeah.
Yes.
Coat it over, yeah.
There's another one that has milk of magnesia in it.
Oh, great. I've got one like that. I think it also had cod liver oil and milk of magnesia. Not a very good cocktail.
Right. Kaopectate. I don't know if I've had a cream cocktail recently. I'm sure I've had one at least once.
I don't know. Creme de menthe, does that count?
No.
No. All right.
Alrighty.
So fresh cream. So fresh this is cream. we just milked this afternoon.
Yes, Dave fortunately has a cow.
Yeah,
illegally.
Illegally,
I might add.
Yeah, milk is so expensive these days. Sometimes we'll just
I hope
do it myself.
Is this home pasteurized?
Well, I heated it in a pan a little bit. I'm sure
this the whole thing sounds hinky. If I may say.
We're using Saint Remy.
Oh.
Is that how you say it? Or is it Saint Remy?
Depends on your accent.
Yeah. It's French brandy. I figured they know what they're doing.
Sure. You don't want to... Mixing it with cream. No point in using cognac.
No. Although I had cognac. I just didn't have enough.
Oh.
Sorry, boys.
I never have enough cognac. Mmm.
So that is the brandy. And then this element of triple sec, which is orange.
Yeah.
Right?
It is. Triple dry orange. It's not really.
Orange and cream, you wouldn't think. Well, I guess it could
like be a creamsicle.
Yeah, there you go.
Every one of these bottles tonight is being cracked fresh.
Ooh. Yeah, so it's... what's that, a dash?
Well, it's supposed to be four dashes.
Four dashes.
Oh. Yes. Oh, I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
All right. Set up record for your ringtones. A little extra shake there because it's that cream. You want to be able to mix everything in there, right? Mm-hmm. And this time, instead of using the built-in strainer, like we normally do, I brought along the old Hawthorne.
Oh, good.
Because I didn't know what to expect. Seems like the sort of thing that should have grated nutmeg on it, but it didn't say to do it, so we're not doing it.
Well, we need a little bit of egg white, and yeah, you pretty much got yourself a nog.
Yeah. Little.
Which I guess that's as we get closer to the season, maybe we should do a nog night.
I'm thinking of maybe that and toddies and some winter drinks. Yeah,
Tom and Jerry's all around.
Maybe a frothy syllabub. That's a little bit of work. But.
You frothy syllabub.
not as bad as an old English sack posset.
Mm-hmm. I guess not. Alrighty, fellas.
This is the 62 version, right?
This is the 62. This is Oscar Hamo's 62 Pacific Cocktail.
Mm.
To the International Barmen's Association.
Oh, yes.
Long may they reign.
Yes.
And the Mark Twain, International Mark Twain.
The smell is nothing. I get cream.
Yeah. Seems familiar somehow.
I get the brandy and the cream.
Yeah.
I get the brandy and the cream. I thought it was going to be somehow a thicker mouthfeel somehow.
Yeah, it's a little more, not as viscous as
but
I
you got a you got a fair amount of booze in there. Thin
there
it
is.
Out.
Yeah.
The recipe again, folks, for you scoring at home. 3/4 ounce of cream to the 2 ounces of brandy. So yeah, it's just there for the color.
Yeah. It's just so mother doesn't know.
4 dashes of triple sec and then shake with ice and strain. So I guess it's really a brandy drink. And I think the brandy comes forward and it's softened by the cream.
Wow. I'd be tempted to throw a little more triple sec in there so you get a little more of a hint of the orange. I can't really.
Yeah, you're right.
Bring the orange.
You know, if you guys want to tweak that one up.
Yeah.
Did you see me put it in there?
That was you. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was you.
And I mean, it's only 4 dashes, so I mean, it is sort of up for grabs, but I don't think you're going to get... Are you hoping for like an orange creamsicle kind of a...
Yeah.
I think Fred mentioned it earlier. I think his taste buds are anticipating.
Well, I know when you throw in a dash of orange bitters, 1 dash, and you got, you know, you got
trouble
socked in the face with an orange. But
it was my worst trip to Florida. But it's, I don't... I'm dissatisfied on so many levels with it. And yet I kind of like it. But I find it too boozy as opposed to the creamy.
Mm-hmm.
I find it too dry
as
opposed to a little bit of sweetness.
Yeah.
And I'm almost thinking I want it warm.
Yes. No, it's
yeah, it's got that look like it needs to be heated. It's
yeah.
got that white, you know, because you associate it with milk.
And yeah, it seems like it should go one way or the other. It should go more noggy or go the other way and a little more of the orange, a little more...
I can see, you know, you mentioned nutmeg. I can definitely see you adding a bit of spice or something on this.
Something
to make
on top
it just,
might just give it
a little kick there.
Yeah. And you'd get that on your nose, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
yeah.
Just to balance it out a bit. But,
I think a bitter, some sort of a bitter might jazz that up.
It's almost like what you should do is make one of these, and then when you get a nice cup of coffee, just dump it into your cup of coffee. And
You got a special coffee.
Yeah. Tom Saunders boozy coffee.
Yeah. Because
You'd have the 2 ounces of brandy in your coffee. You'd have the cream that you were going to put in there anyway.
Yeah.
And the triple sec because you're fancy.
It's like it wants to be something else.
Yes, well, maybe that's why in 1972
yes,
he changed it around.
He made
realized
it into something else.
Mm-hmm.
He got some hate mail. He said, "No, you're doing it wrong, Oscar."
And now the when we do the next one here, it has Southern Comfort in it, which Fred has provided tonight, and he's used it recently for some drinks. I haven't used Southern Comfort for a while.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Do you remember what the flavor profile is at all? On the front, it says, none genuine but mine, which is an awful rhyme.
Let's give it a crack. You know, maybe we should, you know, I haven't had Southern Comfort straight for many moons.
Oh, God. I was at a party in high school where a guy had just a big bottle of Southern Comfort, and I was like, oh, that's really gross. What are you, Janis Joplin?
Yeah, you do get a bit of a peach hit off of that, I think. Or maybe apricot?
Yeah, there's a little. Like,
yeah, there seems to be.
There's something fragrant
and it's sweet,
fruity fragrance.
Sweetish,
I think. Is it in the liqueur section?
Yes.
Right, and on the back it says the flavor of whiskey made comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
These are awful sentences. Yes. Who's the copywriter behind this?
Janis Joplin.
That's right. The flavor of whiskey made comfortable, sweet, smooth, and delicious. Unlike any other.
That's true.
Now, Pete Best was the moody and magnificent. Try your comfort with cola, which might be too sweet. Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
But anyway, Oscar.
What do I call that drink? The Colonel Comfort's Punch or something like that?
Oh.
What do I call that?
Yeah. And that's your go-to holiday punch?
That's my punch made into a cocktail or made into a Yeah. Which we're going to do sometime in the future.
You got a little fancy over here. Yeah. Well, maybe we should do that. We do the partridge cocktail and then Fred's cocktail punch recipe.
There you go.
And so it's all partridge.
It's all partridge all the time.
I sit in the background and knit.
Yeah. Or applaud Fred's mixing skills.
All right. Well, I'm not going to finish that because I want to compare it to
to
Oscars.
So we're moving on to the modern 1970s, the hip 70s.
I looked online, too. I Googled. If you people at home don't have a computer, you should get one.
Oh, they're the best. Yeah. You can while away hours on that machine.
Mm-hmm.
But the International Cocktail Wine and Spirits Digest Incorporated was at 252 East 61st Street in New York, New York.
Oh, we should go drop in.
The town's so nice, they named it twice, as David Letterman used to say. And I've looked online, and you can actually go into that building. Somebody's walked into it, because there's a doctor's office in there.
Mm.
But there does not seem to be anything to do with this fellow. Eat for pleasure, drink by measure. Oscar Hamel.
Wow.
Oscar.
He really is up there with Mark Twain, isn't he?
He's a poet.
He's full of quotes.
Yeah.
So let's look here. Now we go 10 years in the future. Into 1972. Everything's a little bit more funky now.
Yeah.
62 was all Mad Men.
Yes.
Sure.
Now 72.
It's all Steely Dan. And heavy metal music. Oh, dear. Well, I bet you that's Oscar.
It probably is.
He's probably furious.
Because it says clearly in this, you can't reproduce this anywhere. But
no.
I just want Oscar to know that we are paying homage to him. That this is a worthy thing. So this is a Pacific cocktail, 1972, 3/4 ounce of cream and 2 ounces of Southern Comfort. As I say, replacing completely the brandy and the triple sec.
Hmm.
So it's easy peasy. If you've got Southern Comfort.
Yeah, you can just drink yourself crazy. As many people have.
As many people
indeed.
Have. But enough about absinthe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just as an aside, I picked up some absinthe recently that's made in the Okanagan Valley.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it make your heart go
pitter-patter?
Yonder? Fonder?
I just thought I tried it. It was a dash of some of absinthe and whatever the cocktail was.
Is that the taboo? Is that what they call that one?
I think
one?
So, yes.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd give it a try.
Was it pretty good?
It seemed all right. Did the trick.
Licorice?
I saw all kinds of weird things.
Wormwood.
Yeah, not really, but...
Oh, I see. It was a lie. I'm sorry you had to hear that, ladies and gentlemen.
It was a story. But that's sort of, we've talked about this before, but it sort of ups the ante on all these cocktails. It's like, oh yeah, you make it with this, this, and this. But now, and I'm sure it's the case everywhere, you've got, probably 10 different local botanicals, 10 different gins made locally. And so you can try the same cocktail with all these different gins and all these different absinthe and all the different what have yous. And it's, now that everybody tends to be making craft whiskeys and craft rums and craft gins, it just...
So craft hallucinogenics should
craft
be next.
Craft hallucinogenics, I think they are coming.
That's right. craft crack.
Craft crack.
All right.
Oh, here we go.
So that was 2 ounces of Southern Comfort, 3/4 ounce of cream.
Yeah.
Shake the hell out
That's
of it.
That's it.
That's it. In answer to your question.
Nice. I'm looking forward to this.
Yes. Even without the nutmeg?
Well, we'll see. But maybe it's simpler is better. Maybe the flavor profile of Southern Comfort outmatches the brandy and dashes of Triple Sec. So.
The interesting thing is, in the 1972 Trader Vic's book, he also refers to Southern Comfort as like the greatest invention that he's ever come across.
Really?
He was making all sorts of drinks with it, and he knew a bunch of other bartenders that were doing the same thing. So it would be interesting to know when Southern Comfort really hit the market.
Yeah. Because I was reading one of our many writers of
cocktail lore,
and one of them was poo-pooing Southern Comfort, saying that he had yet to find one drink that made any sense with. I think it was Southern Comfort. He didn't care for it.
Really?
There's exceptions to every rule.
Well, let's see what the gentleman of elegant leisure.
Yeah.
Think of it.
Well, you certainly get the Southern Comfort off the nose.
Oh yeah, lots of different.
So that's nice.
Fragrance.
That is nice. And the taste is.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. See what's missing?
It's much nicer.
Yeah.
It's got a much wider flavor profile. You get a lot of. Now, whether it's peach or just it's got more of a sort of a fruity or an herbal, a stronger herbal flavor. With brandy, is sort of neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And the dashes of triple sec don't really sink in. But this has got, yeah, this is all right. This is not quite Christmas. It's sort of, I don't know, fall in a glass. Not Christmas in a glass. It's fall in a glass.
If you had two or three of them, you might.
Yeah.
I say so. But yeah, so considering you've just got two ingredients.
Yeah.
It sounds like you've gone into a lot more trouble than you have.
You're
it
right.
It tastes like it.
Yeah. It is. It would be one of those secret backroom bar things where you didn't see the bartender. And you say, oh my God, he's done a lot of work on this.
Yeah. It's like Rice Krispie squares.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I was expecting more from the original Pacific.
Yeah. I can see where he switched the recipes on this one.
Yes. Do you have anything on your access point for what they're saying Southern Comfort is supposed to be like? They say here it's whiskey with flavor and all of this stuff, but they're being kind of cagey about what they're trying to achieve.
I'm trying to think back because when I first did my Southern Comfort punch, I did some research on it. It seemed to me it was something to do with. Is it peach pits or is that?
that's cyanide, isn't it?
Oh yes,
we'll be dead in 3 hours.
This is the final episode of the gentleman. Let me see what it says here because he's got a little thing at the back here, but he doesn't have that. Although this is interesting, he actually lists his drinks by ingredient, and for drinks made with Southern Comfort, he's got like 2 pages worth. The Atomic Cocktail, the Black Widow, the Blast Off, the Cha-Cha, the Christmas Eggnog. Mm-hmm. He's using it in that. The French 90. Navy Grog of his uses Southern Comfort. So that's kind of... He's gone nutty with this.
Mm.
Peach Velvet, Puff, Puzzler, the Rhett Butler, the Scarlett O'Hara, they both use Southern Comfort.
Mm-hmm.
The Skidding Sidecar.
Jeez, maybe... Maybe they've already made my cocktail.
Southern Comfort Tom and Jerry, Southern Comfort Toddy, Southern Comfort Swizzle, Slings, and Scotch, and the Pussycat, and blah, blah, blah.
Holy moly. So yeah, Southern Comfort hails from New Orleans.
Nolens?
Nolens.
Yep. By a bartender.
Okay.
Yep. And he had some really crappy whiskey and wanted to make it palatable.
Better? Because he didn't want to throw it out. It's cost him money.
Well, people wouldn't drink it, I guess. And so he threw in a bunch of spices and herbs to make it more palatable. And there's your Southern Comfort.
And they don't say what the spices and herbs are?
No, I'm sure it's some
secret,
sort of...
It's like Colonel Sanders. You know, secret.
That's true.
Secret herbs and spices.
Oh, Southerners.
So
that's how they're going to rise again.
Yeah.
So the theory is that there's really no bourbon or whiskey. It's actually made from basically neutral spirits. And then fruit, apricot.
Oh, okay. So you're pretty...
Yes, yeah, that was it. Because I knew it wasn't quite peach. So there you go. But yeah, the bourbon, whiskey, don't hold your breath. It's probably... It's just... it maybe has enough just to give it a little... taste of it, but it's really just
it's Everclear.
Everclear. Yeah. Well, you know, no different than they make it than the way they make gin now, right? You start with your neutral spirits and then you just keep adding botanicals until, hey, now it's gin.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is how they used to do it.
I think it is. And it's no different than it used to be.
Yeah, it's vodka with different flavoring.
That's right.
So I wonder if, back to what Fred said originally,
mm-hmm.
had we hit more triple sec in that brandy one, mm-hmm. would that have given us, like, if we'd really gone like a half ounce or something of it,
right.
would it have carried over enough fruit flavor from the triple sec to give us?
I think it would have been a better tasting drink if you take out maybe a half an ounce of the brandy and sub in half an ounce of the triple sec.
Mm.
I think it might have given you a little bit more of a profile because the brandy doesn't add nothing.
No.
It don't add nothing.
Wow, and you can take that to the bank.
So, I think that would make a better tasting cocktail if you like that. And I think that would give you your creamsicle. And I'm sure somebody's made that already. It's in there. It's out there.
Oh, I'm sure that there would be. It seems like a real sort of 80s, 90s
blender called a creamsicle, if nothing else.
Yes. So.
Well, I'll put these in the freezer and put a stick in it. And call me tomorrow when we come over and you can have your creamsicle little cocktail.
But Southern Comfort is, in a lot of ways, it's a lot like a lot of the liqueurs that are out there. They're, like your B&B and everything else. It's all just a something with stuff thrown in it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you've got your basics, your rums and whiskeys, which are made from something, but it's more or less a pure thing. And then you've got the ones where they just keep throwing stuff into the pot until they get something that tastes nice.
That's the job to have.
That's the one.
So I went back to the original one just to see.
Mm-hmm.
And my first sip was like, oh, this isn't too bad. And then as it settled in, it mm-hmm. became closer to Irish whiskey and pickle juice. It's just...
I'm going to make that dill pickle juice cocktail work yet.
All right.
I'm bringing that one back. But I got to work on the recipe.
I'm bringing pickles back! you know what it else reminds me of? Here, have another sip of this gun. It's not a gun. It's this one.
This one.
Guy is what I was going to say. Because that's the first one, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And now it makes me think that my eggnog was over iced and has now melted. And it's got an off profile mm-hmm. flavor. It's like, I bet this was good an hour ago. It's still cold from the ice.
Right. Right.
Hmm.
There you go. Lesson learned.
Now, the great thing would be, too, if there was a color to it. Because it's the Pacific.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Like it's blue Curacao.
Blue Curacao. Huh. Instead of the triple sec.
Yeah.
Huh. I look over to Dave's liquor cabinet wondering if there was blue, but I know there is.
I have blue Curacao, unfortunately.
I have blue Curacao at home, but...
As do I.
Well, who doesn't?
Well, I don't have it. You should be doing these at your houses.
Yeah.
All right, we'll start touring it around.
Yes, we'll see if we can do. I don't think we're going to be able to make a remote work, but
no,
it's on the books Curacao. As a possibility.
Mm.
Yes, because not that anybody needs to know.
Everybody wants to know where you because you guys got a ticket to ride soon, don't you? To the Big Apple.
We're going to the Big Apple, New York,
mm-hmm.
to the home of Oscar Hamo and his
International Bar Men's Managers Association.
Well, tell us, give us a little preview of what you plan to do in the Big Apple. You plan to go to some drinking establishments?
We are.
Yeah?
Yeah, we've got PDT.
Yeah.
Please don't tell on the agenda.
Which was just featured on an international show called Secret Restaurants or Secret Eats or something.
Mm-hmm. And then,
thanks.
And Seth Meyers.
Then he went on. No, I think he went on Stephen Colbert.
Stephen Colbert
told everybody about this.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we'll be lucky to get in.
Yeah.
In fact, I looked online and somebody's review of the place said that they started to call because I think you call the same day for reservations.
Yeah,
3 o'clock. Uh-huh. They start taking reservations. They couldn't get through for 20 minutes. When they did, they got a reservation for 7:30.
At least that's the same day.
Oh yeah. No, I think we should be able to do it. We just have to.
We're going to try and catch up with the Dead Rabbit.
Yep.
I think and.
The Algonquin for just an old classic.
Mm-hmm. Death and Company.
Oh, we're going to Death and Company?
Why not? With a name like that, how could you miss?
Yeah, true enough.
We'll see if we make it. You know, because I think we've got about...
Don't die before you get to Death and Company.
I think we've got about a dozen bars to hit in about 3 days.
There is. We're going both for quality and for atmosphere, right?
I was going to say quantity.
Well, I think that's going to go without saying from what you've told me. I've never been to New York before, but you have, and they
pour a nice stiff drink.
Mm.
So,
you know, a lot of these books tell you that a stiff drink does you no good. It doesn't do service to the drinker.
Who's
always
that?
Worked well for
I don't
me.
Know who that is?
I like your new.
You know, I understand the theory behind that,
mm-hmm.
but in practice, I never observe that.
Because if you want to have three drinks,
oh yeah.
You can't.
You don't want to have 3 3-ounce drinks.
No.
Mm-hmm. You do.
You do.
But you really shouldn't.
But a quarter of the way through that third one, you're like, I should have had that second one.
Yeah. Plus, you got reservations to eat in about 20 minutes.
Exactly. But drinks afterwards.
And drinks afterwards. So anyway, that's...
yes, you're right, Dave. We will be in New York City.
No. You should be doing it. Yeah, you should take, you know. No, don't take my computer. But take your computer and, you know, you can always do one without me again.
Yeah, maybe there's...
Yeah. Or we could always, you could always splice it in on our next show.
Sure.
Mr. Editor.
It would be neat. I don't know. How well are these things at just recording stuff? Not these. The built-in telephone.
Your phone.
Yeah. Actually, no, I've heard that for a lot of voice auditions, they're acceptable.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
So we could do not so much a remote, but we could at least say what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sort of like we did during that scotch drinking night. A couple that we did.
Oh dear, we should upload that.
We should try and see how that works after the 12th taste.
Mm-hmm. When a young lady with a bagpipe comes in and plays in a next to you in a low basement.
Wow, you guys really live it up. We're a little wild side, aren't you?
Yeah, if only we could remember.
Yeah, wow.
Well, it's like Oscar Hamo says. The wise man accepts whatever comes and goes.
That's it?
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I heard Mark Twain turning over in his grave.
Oscar's little books are full of those. Have a look at that one.
I think Mark Twain's going to take his certificate back.
Or Cyril.
Let me read you this one and see if you can explain this one to me. In life, there are four types of men. He does a lot of this, too. Mm-hmm. That in life, my favorite was always that there's two types of people in the world. Mm-hmm. The kind that divide people into two types of people. And the kind that doesn't. So we've got one here. In life, there are four types of men. The first is like a sponge. He absorbs everything indiscriminately. The second is like a funnel. He takes in at one end and lets out at the other.
Right.
The third is like a strainer. He lets through the wine and retains the lees. And the fourth is like a sieve.
Is that like a strainer?
Exactly.
Okay.
The fourth is like a sieve. He lets off the bran and retains the flour.
Oh, I don't get that.
So I don't know, is one better than the other?
I guess it's better to have the flour than the bran?
I guess.
Is that how a sieve works?
I don't know.
You think the flour would go through and the bran would stay behind, like the wine and the lees.
Yeah, and you don't want the lees.
You don't want the lees.
But you do want the flour.
Well, you make it into grappa later, but...
Does anybody want the bran, though?
No, all the people that make bran flakes do.
Well, yeah. So who's the bad person in this?
I can't tell anymore. He really shouldn't throw anything away.
He's a bit of a mystic, isn't he?
He is.
Philosopher mystic.
Listen to this. Oscar Hamo. Give strong drink to the depressed. I don't think that's a good idea at all. But that's what he opens with. Give strong drink to the depressed and wine to the bitter heart. That they may forget their sorrow and hope for brighter days. And then you rhyme.
He's doing free verse by then. It's like his cocktails evolved, so did his poetry.
Now, what about everybody else?
Well, they don't get any. They get the brand.
Brand.
Hmm.
Oscar Hamo. Well, everybody should run out and find. If there's any of these copies of this stuff lying around, you really.
Where did you get your copies, Jason?
The book sale in the mall.
Wow.
See, that's where you want to be.
But I think you could get them through mail order, mm-hmm. or perhaps if you came across Oscar Hamo. I mean, he did work around. I cannot fault the guy and say that he didn't work around all sorts of places. It's just sort of funny. There's a weird picture in here. I don't know if you see it in your copy that I handed you to there, Fred, but there's a picture of him holding his book out to Edward G. Robinson,
mm-hmm.
and it's clear, it's clearly, it's not even Photoshopped, it's pre-Photoshopped, it's awful.
It's just pasted. Cut out with scissors and glued on top.
It's like a picture of Edward G. Robinson and Oscar Hamo,
mm-hmm.
and it's holding a giant postage stamp would be equally believable.
Yeah, not in this copy.
No.
Yeah. Can you, in fact, can you get a picture of that to put on Instagram?
Oh, okay.
See if you can get a close enough shot of
that. Oh, no, there it is. Yeah, no, you're going to get sued.
By whom?
Right.
Well, the estate of Hamos and Robinson, I think.
The ultimate fighting challenge.
I think he's just handing him a bill.
Exactly. Because Edward has two hands out, like he's holding a menu.
Oh, maybe he's looking at the menu. And
Oscar is, I don't know what the hell he's doing. Listen to this. Oscar Hamo. Men's superiority over animals is in the power of speech. That's it. But when he speaks in vanity or folly, he is not better than the animal.
Mm.
Yeah.
Huh?
Wow. Quite a sage.
Said it, Oscar.
He's full of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm not doing my quote of the week because you've already given so many quotes.
Drink nothing without seeing it. Sign nothing without reading it. Oscar Hamill.
Well, why would you drink something without seeing
it? Oh, no.
Well, you know, they have those dinner things where it's all dark.
Ah, okay.
You know,
right.
It's a blackout. And you
blackout.
Eat in the dark.
And that's
so
right.
It enhances your sense of taste.
Yeah.
Don't do those,
Don't
according
do
to
those.
Oscar Hamill.
Yeah. He foresaw the bleak future ahead for drinks.
Speaking of a bleak future, Oscar Hamo says, as the larger among fish swallow the smaller, so among men. Eat, drink, and be merry, because after all, nothing lasts forever.
Oh.
Random fortune cookies this man is cranking out.
Wow.
Well, now, you know, I'm a little worried, because with all these pithy sayings, what's Dave going to finish with? What's he got?
I know.
What's he got that compares to Oscar Hamo?
Nothing. I mean,
he will have something, I'm sure.
Well,
you think?
I'm sure he will.
I do.
Is it Oscar Hamo worthy?
Well, I think it's up there with Oscar.
So we're winding up?
Are we making
another cocktail?
Well, before the quote, we should say which one was the... We know which one was the favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Number two.
The
1972.
Mm-hmm. 2 ounces of Southern Comfort and 3/4 of an ounce of cream.
Yeah.
Is the winner tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Simple.
It's unanimous. Oh, the quote. Well, you like this because I know you're a fan. Never cry over spilt milk because it could have been whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
And... who was that from?
That was Linda's dad.
No, not Linda's dad.
It sounds like W.C. Fields, but...
Nope.
No, really?
In fact, he doesn't really exist.
Oh.
Only in the world of television.
Only in the world of television?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Maude?
Earlier. You're going to have to go late 50s, early 60s.
Jackie Gleason?
No. No, it's not a real person.
Not a real person.
It's a character.
And we should know this?
Well, I don't know if you should know it.
Oh.
But you like the show.
I like the show.
Yeah. Because you like the actor who portrayed this character.
Dick Van Dyke?
Rob Petrie?
No, let me know when you give up.
I give up.
We all give up.
Well, I'll give you a hint. Okay. Western.
Western.
Oh. Paladin?
It would be James Garner as Brett Maverick.
Oh. Yeah.
Pappy Maverick.
Oh, Pappy Maverick. My old Pappy used to say.
Yeah. Never cry over spilled milk.
Right.
It could have been whiskey. Oh, there you go.
Wow.
There you go.
That's nice. A tribute to the great James Garner.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And Pappy Maverick.
And with that?
that sobering
and a
pause.
Moment of silence. Yeah, so, well, you guys have fun in New York. And remember, take lots of photos of the drinks so we can put them on our Instagram account.
What is that website again?
That's instagram.com/cocktailpodcast.
Cocktail podcast. And otherwise, they can hear us where they're hearing us right now on the gentlemanofelegantleisure.com.
But possibly in the future on iTunes.
Yeah, so we can get our stuff together.
Yeah. Yes, but... anything else you want to add, Jason? You know, you always like to give some advice right at the very end.
I do.
To other gentlemen of elegant leisure.
Other gentlemen of elegant leisure, because you're supposed to live big. You know what? We should have planned to go to Jerry Thomas's grave when we were in New York.
Where's he? Is he buried right in New York?
He's north. He's in the Bronx.
All right.
The Woodlawn Cemetery.
Well, get a little picture with you. Jerry's headstone.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Good old Jerry Thomas.
Good old Jerry Thomas. Yeah. But yes, I think that we are going to find that this will be the situation in New York.
Mm-hmm.
That we are going to be kind to our waitstaff.
Will we?
And we are going to
tip big.